and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling. Here on cagematch.net, I'm your host, Strigger, and for this very special episode, as always, of course, I'm joined by Dylan. Hi, Dylan.
It's great to be here, Strigger. Man, sometimes there are shows where maybe there's not that much to talk about, maybe there's not that much going on, maybe there's no news. This is not one of those episodes.
Nope.
You know, we have stuff to talk about, and we will definitely get into it. I know everybody probably wants to hear what we got to say about it, about the big news that came out just yesterday. We're not waiting around for it. We're not even waiting till the weekend. We're doing it right now. We got a lot to say.
This morning, I was getting up. I had 1 hour until I had to be in school. So for a brief moment, I figured, maybe we're going to do this right now. But then I figured the time window wouldn't be big enough to be sure and safe about this show. So, yes, of course, this is about Katsushika Okada leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling at the end of January. And, of course, this is Eastern Lariat episode number 271. And for all of these 271 episodes, Katsushika Okada has been the biggest star in Japanese pro wrestling. Things are about to change as New Japan Pro Wrestling announced his departure just yesterday on the 18th. And Okada will still honor his bookings in February. And they quickly shuffled around cards for the new beginning. We'll talk about the announcement itself later, or the impact that it had. And he will wrestle Hiroshi Tanahashi one more time in February, on February 11 in Osaka. And before this, before the announcement, on January 12, Okada submitted a filing to the United States Patent and Trademark Office for the name of his finishing move, so for the Rainmaker. He has an attorney by the name of Michael E. Duckins that is listed, and he filed this trademark. Fans of Okada's wife, Suzuko Mimori, interestingly noted that she started to take English lessons, and from this on, presumed that Katsushika Okada would be leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling. So they were on top of the news. And this would have been a real great piece if any journalist had found out about the fans of Okada's wife discussing her English lessons. And of course, together with the submission of the Rainmaker trademark, that would have been strong hints, wouldn't it?
This just proves to everyone what everyone always knew. Anime Geeks 1, Journalist minus 5,000, once again. But no, what you said is so true. We could have a whole discussion on wrestling journalism. That would be a pie-in-the-sky discussion about a lot of things we could point to. But still,
specifically when it comes to the video showing up in the office for the website service and saying, put this Okada news up. This highly absurd Okada news.
It was all a work, after all. But no. Now, it's interesting when you look at it. I mean, we'll talk about it. There's a lot of pieces in play when it comes to Okada leaving and all of the potential reasonings behind it. But definitely one of the most highly talked about parts was his wife and what effect she would have on him moving to America and what that could, entail and what people could think about that. And we always have to start off with a little bit of a disclaimer here. We both, are not Japanese. So yes, we don't have the full context of everything culturally. And I think we should all, and everybody, like there's some people that will just say anything, but I do think we have to point that out. Maybe some things we'll say will be right and some things will be wrong, but mm-hmm. We're missing that link. And B, most importantly, even more importantly than that, is neither you nor I are named Kazuchika Okada. So we don't know what is going through this man's mind, what his goals are, what his instincts may be, not just in wrestling, but we're talking about a life change here going from across the world. So we have to think about the personal ramifications of this man and his family that there's no possible way us or anybody else really could know unless you are in his head, which, as I said, we are not. But we are taking it, just analyzing it with the facts and the information that we have at our hands, as well as the things that we know about his business, which is pro wrestling, obviously.
Let's stress this right now. Let's look at this from the grand scheme of the history of Japanese top talent. I got this from the Observer article about Okada leaving. Okada in Japanese wrestling history is the first true tippy top star that leaves for a full-time gig elsewhere. The Observer article also says that the closest was Shinsuke Nakamura, who was part of New Japan's Big Four when he left, but he was clearly behind Okada and Tanahashi when he signed with WWE. So this can't be overstated. This is an unprecedented moment in Japanese wrestling history. And it is once again a point in time where we go back to one of our talking points when we discussed other people possibly leaving Japan to pursue other opportunities in the United States. With Okada leaving, there could be more people looking at the possibility of maybe going to the United States, going elsewhere, leaving Japan, because this could realistically and very likely open up a ripple effect.
It took a lot for us to get to this point. A big reason why that's never happened before with the top star leaving and going to America is because historically there's no real way that could have even been possible. You know, back in the territory days of everything, you had people traveling back and forth from America to Japan. It's always been a big part of Japanese wrestling from literally the day one was foreign relations versus Japanese talent. And sometimes that meant Japanese guys going to America for doing things. The first time it could have been something even with like any kind of logistic possibility would have been all the way up until the 90s would have happened, where that could have happened possibly. It didn't, but it possibly could have, but it wouldn't have because things were so hot and wrestling was so big at the time. Mm-hmm. So even something like 20 years ago, when the original Dark Ages happened in wrestling, Kobashi was not going to be able to sign with WWE.
Yes.
You know, the top star. Like, that's just, it wouldn't have happened. And it couldn't have happened because the economy different now, but also people's growth in terms of knowing talent internationally has grown so, so much that it's ever been before. So we are at this kind of interesting moment in time, this perfect storm almost, where the economy for Japan is way down, but also people's knowledge of international talents is so far higher than it was in the past. So at this point, where you could see it even on the indie level with all of these Joshi companies that we've talked about before, where it may be questionable from running the companies in America, running them, you could say what you want about them. But for the talent themselves, we've seen it. These girls are constantly going to America at a scale never seen before because the money is so much better in America than it is in Japan. So with those two things said, you are going to make significantly more money in America, which may have been true in the past, but at that point, the knowledge base and the star power wasn't where it is now. But internationally, Okada meant so much to the fans internationally. You will not find a bigger international global star than Okada. So, and he is known to the point where he could feel like a big difference maker coming into an AEW or a WWE, which never would have happened with a top star before. So with these two things and the climate coming together, that is what allowed this to happen now. That would not have taken place even 15 years ago that it is now.
Yes, and you could also, of course, point to guys like Masa Saito, who has been in the United States a lot. Tenryu has been in the US. Keiji Muto has had his run with WCW in the late 90s, but at that point he was not like the top star of his company. Not like Okada is these days. And
Muto's big run was on his excursion. Like when he came in. Yeah, it's way different, like all of those situations.
It's completely different from this Okada situation. So, New Japan Pro Wrestling announced this departure, and they used the Japanese term of Totsuzen no Oshirase, which roughly translates to sudden announcement. And that also goes along with Dave Meltzer's report of the situation that Okada gave notice on Thursday, which would have been yesterday, and they just put together the announcement of him leaving and suddenly changed the cards for the New Beginning tour. Tokyo Sports also, of course, has a report on it and has its own unique take on the situation. And they say, I quote, "When it comes to leaving the top-ranked Japanese organization for many, many years, the next option is inevitably limited to overseas competitions. Particularly in the United States, there has been strong interest in Okada's departure since last year. A competition between WWE and AEW is inevitable. And it looks like we'll have to keep an eye on which mat he chooses." So, of course, Tokyo Sports goes into the direction that everybody is talking about as well. There is hardly any way that any other Japanese company could make a play for Okada for him to come in. That's off the table. So the only situation could be for him to go to WWE and go to AEW. I've looked around on Twitter, and there is, of course, those that think he'll be going to AEW. And I gotta say, personally, I think the idea of him being able to still work the big Japanese shows, much like Will Ospreay, for example, has, that's gotta be something that he looks at. But then again, I saw some tweets that him going to WWE would be a very interesting move, because that's something, much like you said, we've not seen. Nakamura is the closest to that. That was something unprecedented at the time, too, that a very big Japanese star would go to WWE. And that the idea of Okada in a WWE ring, I gotta say, it is something that sparks imagination.
I just think the AEW thing that you mentioned was what I predicted on the prediction show, that he would sign with AEW, yes, but also mainly work all of the New Japan shows. It's really strange to me how this caught New Japan so off guard once it came out that he had hired Barry Bloom as his agent, which is a clear direct signal that he's here to get paid. That's what you do when you hire Bloom. Like, that's what you hire him for, is to get you paid. So you would have thunk that they would have known that these intentions are there, at least. There's a lot of talk. There's been a lot of talk about Tanahashi being the president, being a potential result or some sort of attempt to keep him around. Something that he's called for was a wrestler's perspective in office, and it seems like they were trying to do that. But it came across like it caught him way off guard. They've already changed the tour for New Beginning, put the singles match with Okada and Tanahashi on there, so it shows you that this is true. It's not like this was all a secret plan by them. He probably knew a while ago, like himself. He probably, when he hired the agent, again, I think that's when you could have said that was a good thing.
At this point, you could put all these pieces together that I mentioned, like filing the trademark for the Rainmaker, his wife taking the lessons, hiring the agent. Like, all these pieces fall together very nicely at this point right now. And much like you said, for him, I got to think that the decision stood a while ago.
And this is kind of what I was talking about earlier, saying we're not him. We don't know his personal aims with this at the end of the day. Is this a play to get the most money, which is very possible in itself? There's been a lot of talk about him not being in peak condition right now. You know, he's not super old, but he's got mileage on him. He's wrestling old, you know, if that makes sense. So he might be looking for the biggest payday. Maybe there's something in him that thinks, this is it. If I'm going to WWE, this is my last chance. I will not be able to do this 5 years from now, in all likelihood. And I have to try now and see what happens, with all things considered. Maybe he thinks, hey, maybe I need to get away from all of this in Japan right now. Me and my wife, we don't know what's going on with them, his family. Maybe he wants to raise his son outside of the Japanese schooling system for some reason. We don't know at the end of the day. Like,
anything could be possible.
Exactly. So we have to keep that in mind as well. Yes. These are things we don't know. But if your goal is to look at it, and like you said, have the chance to wrestle still in New Japan and contribute something, if you have some sort of loyalty to them, then obviously AEW is the way to go. As a fan, we've seen how AEW has signed so many people, and so little of them have made any impact whatsoever at the end of the day, and mainly because of how they're used, more so than whatever talent level they may have. So I feel like he would be destined to fall in the same cast of characters that pretty much everyone in AEW kind of falls in at the moment, where he would be in. WWE, I mean, with Nakamura, he had a very quick start where he was very popular, Yep. And then 7 years where he officially really didn't do a lot. And now they're getting back to using him better. Like now. So I think a similar thing would happen with Okada.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is that very different to what would happen to him in AEW then?
Well, Okada would never be big in the first place in AEW. Like, they don't even let people get big there, really. Like, look at Takeshita in there, how they
use him. Yeah, but Takeshita is something completely different, you know. It's he's been the top star for DDT, yeah, but he's certainly not the level of Okada.
That's true, but even the big names. What about Jay White? He was the champion of New Japan for a long time.
Yes, but that is also a point that I made on Twitter. Like, Jay White, of course he was a star in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he was never a star to the level of Okada. Just remember when at last year's Dynamite before Forbidden Door, 2 or 3 weeks before that, Okada's music hit and the AEW crowd went completely apeshit just for the coin drop coming. The aura of him is different from others coming into the company, I think.
Who have they used on their own roster that has been used in a way that you would say they are a great difference maker right now? Because I don't think there's anybody even on their native roster that I would categorize that as.
No, I would go to Danielson. Would go to Moxley.
He's not presented as a top star at all. Like, you know, Danielson's not a champion.
He's not the champion, but the incredible story with MJF and the Iron Man match, I would say that was a difference maker. Moxley always is a difference maker.
Those guys are great workers, like great wrestlers for sure, but they're not presented as like difference making stars, really. Moxley a little bit more. I think he's been presented definitely better than Danielson, and a lot of it is Danielson's own doing because he's such an unselfish guy.
Sure.
You know, at the end of the day, but I don't see these guys as I don't see anybody on their roster as presented in a way that they are that like when Moxley left, it's not like it made a huge difference. MJF's gone now. It doesn't make a big difference, even when they put all this time mm-hmm. into these people. I don't think that they understand how to make stars in that company at the end of the day, even somebody like Okada who has an aura.
Yeah, that might be a very true point. Yes.
If he comes to WWE. And let's say this was floated about, like a storyline for him. And this is obviously, I think, part wishful thinking as well. But let's say he comes in. First of all, he can't come into the Royal Rumble because he's still going to be in Japan. Royal Rumble takes place before even. Everybody dreams of that with the Royal Rumble debut. Mm-hmm. And it would be like fun. Like, don't get me wrong. But let's just say something I heard floated about.
It was different with AJ Styles. AJ Styles' contract was, I think it already ran out at the end of the year. And he still did the Tokyo Dome show on January 4 and then left after New Year Dash, and his contract was up then.
Yeah, exactly. He basically did a solid for the company. Then they both left. Nakamura as well.
Exactly.
After their Dome match.
But Nakamura also had the contract until the end of January, much like Okada.
And yeah, so and then he debuted in NXT. I think it's very unlikely if Okada signed with WWE that he would debut in NXT at this point. But let's say, again, to my point, AEW, he'll be hot. Like, yes, the fans will pop for him, sure. Like, there's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt he is a bigger star in Japan than these other guys, for sure. But let's say WWE, the plot that I had heard floated around, let's say his big match is him versus Gunther at WrestleMania mm-hmm. for the Intercontinental title, which right now Gunther's on a big run. He's like the longest reigning champion. You put him over, he's going to have it. When you put him at a WrestleMania entrance, Okada, mm-hmm. the Rainmaker, with all that goes into it, that guy is going to look like a $1 trillion star with how they utilize him and what they do with him. With AEW, we've yet to really seen anybody utilized in that way or made to feel special in that way, even if they're great workers and talented guys and great promos and all that. They have a lot of those guys. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just how they use him. We've yet to see anyone truly be a difference maker with AEW. And a lot of guys, unfortunately, even if they're top stars, even if they're Kenny Omega for a long time, like the head guy at the start of the company, they often, it's no secret, they will go on a hot run and then disappear for a few months at a time, and we don't know where they're going. I think with WWE, he would have a good at least 6 month run where they focus on him. He is the shiny diamond that they have. Whether that lasts longer than that, I don't think, you know, as a fan, I still fail to see
how that is would be that different from AEW, but because AEW, with a lot of people they sign, they do very much the same. They present them as stars for as big signing for the first run they have, and then something happens with someone new gets signed, and then they'll be the shiny new toy.
I don't even think it lasts 6 months for most of the AEW guys. Right, I mean, what was Jay White's big run when he signed?
It was a different take for him because he was not seen as the big signing at first because he was just put into the Bullet Club Gold group and did multi-man stuff for the first couple of months.
Right. And then who would you say...
He became the challenger to MJF.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did have a match. One of the worst matches of the year. Talk about on there. Yeah, I guess they made an attempt. It just was very flawed. I think WWE would make him look better with all of their...
The WrestleMania entrance, I completely buy. The bigger stage definitely is with WWE, and that is a stage that would be comparable to the Wrestle Kingdom stage, and Okada could look much bigger on that stage than he could on AEW stage. That I agree with.
And we have to remember, too... We're dealing with somebody who doesn't speak English at the end of the day, which is not, there's not a history of people being main event guys without that in American wrestling, right or wrong. True. You know, obviously I don't think it should be that way. Nakamura, like I said, they're doing a great job with Nakamura now with the subtitle promos. If they could do that for Okada in some way, that would go a long way.
For a long time, they just flat out wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Would not accept that you'd be speaking a foreign language on their program, and that is a shift. Maybe that even was a shift to tell Okada, yeah, see, we do this. You could be handled exactly like Nakamura is right now.
Absolutely. And yeah, Nakamura, he was, like I said, floundering for years. They move him to Raw, and all of a sudden they use him good, and like they put these subtitles on there. Yeah, I could totally see that being a little bit of a message to the Japanese talent, saying, "Hey, like, look, you could be a main star." And which he and like Nakamura is one of their top heels at the moment, in Raw. So,
and it's not only that; it's also their usage of Japanese female talent that is much much better than in their rival company.
Oh yeah, the women's division, it's like night and day. Like with WWE and AEW, with Japanese or not. Again, like I said, a lot of the talent with Japanese you could also apply to the non-Japanese talent. I don't even think it's that much of a difference. I just think that they have issues that you know they have to deal with in general.
Yeah.
The Japanese talent will always be at a little bit of a disadvantage. But like you said, with WWE, maybe that's a change and they're trying to get around it, which they should always do. You should always try to emphasize the strengths of your talent and not, you know, make them a weakness.
But let's say Okada goes to AEW. This is the second big money match series that AEW could sign away from New Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan always had Osprey in play when it was about the Omega versus Osprey series. That's gone now, and that could be one of the big programs for AEW. This year, or maybe next year, depends on what Omega's health status is. And of course, yes, Danielson was an AEW talent, but Okada used to be a New Japan Pro Wrestling talent, so that could have been in play for whatever show would be down the line. And now my prediction of Okada versus Danielson at All In this year in London could be likely. We definitely have to look at that. And then, of course, we need to look at the company that is left behind by Okada.
Yeah.
This has to be considered as the biggest loss possible because no wrestler in New Japan is ready to match his level of stardom. We talked about the Wrestle Kingdom main event for next year, and Okada versus Naito seemed like the obvious and only match to do. And I don't see any match that could match this on a level, on the main event level for the biggest show of the year. So for 10 years now, they really haven't been able or willing. That is a different subject. We could also dive into that. Or willing to create a star of Okada's level. And they are still mostly banking on those that have been headlining throughout the years of their biggest success. And not only has that to be a big loss for the company, it has to be considered the biggest loss possible to management. And I want to presume this, presumably part of the reason for the reshuffling in management, Dylan.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to go back to your AEW take, because I think it's definitely like very possible he signs with AEW anyway, and does what I predicted all along, that he would still be in line for New Japan matches every once in a while, like for big shows. But let's say that happens. He signs to AEW. We've already seen a little bit of this online. The reaction to a lot of people that are mainly Japanese fans was so negative to the idea of AEW signing another top star after Osprey, especially. With the working agreement they have, there's been a lot of talk about it being one-sided, so on and so forth. Do you think that at one point, because, you know, even comparing him to Jay White, as we talked about earlier, it's not an apples to apples comparison. Okada was a much bigger star in Japan than Jay was. There's no real person you can compare Okada to. Osprey worldwide, perhaps, but we haven't seen him in AEW yet to know what they'll do with him. So maybe these two signings will be the one that changes things for them and they finally wake up a little bit. But if you're in New Japan and you're behind the scenes here, do you think there's any sour grapes, maybe some negative feelings on this relationship with AEW? If you see Okada walk into another company and what looked like to me, this statement, I will say this, it didn't sound like somebody who was going to be in the waiting in the wings. Like, it sounded like, hey, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, this was not an, oh, we'll see what happens down the road, or we wish him all the best. It was like, this was a surprise. We're sorry to the fans, but we're working it out the best we can. That's basically how I read their statement.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And this can't be the first sour grapes. After Osprey, this has to be at least the second time of sour grapes, because they announced Osprey signing in November, before New Japan even had any way to react to Osprey leaving. They were caught off guard by that as well, I gotta think. And if I was management in New Japan Pro Wrestling, I would definitely look at this working relationship that you have with AEW and think about if you're still willing to do that if they just snitch away your stars.
And that's another fear of mine with Okada and AEW. The Osprey thing was clearly meant to be their win over WWE right before CM Punk returned at Survivor Series. They put the graphic up, declared yourself. And that's what I fear with Okada. Will this be somebody he's actually interested in making a top star? Or is this another win over WWE? You could put the graphic up online and say he's all elite, and then he's where he's at afterwards. Is that what this really is? Or is this somebody you really believe in as a difference maker? That would be my question to AEW when they sign that. And if I'm New Japan, of course, and on top of it, with the Osprey thing, it was almost even worse in a lot of ways, because they had already set up his Wrestle Kingdom match when they announced that signings, which pretty much blew any intrigue you could have into that. So thanks a lot for that, guys. But yeah, if you're in New Japan, if you're a part of the office, you have to be getting a little perturbed by how things are going right now with AEW. And we'll see if that leads to any big changes. They did get Bryan Danielson at the Dome, which everyone loves Bryan, and he's a great, fantastic wrestler.
I took this more as a personal deal for Bryan Danielson than anything that has to do with both companies.
Yeah, obviously that's a part of it, but you still, the optics of it was Okada got to win over an AEW guy, even if it is the real reason. So you did get something out of it. It just doesn't mean that much in the grand scheme of things, ultimately. You got a great wrestler for a few shows, and who knows where that'll go with Bryan, because he's back fighting Zach, so.
You know, what's interesting amidst all this talk about the relationship is, of course, they set up John Moxley versus Tetsuya Naito for Chicago.
That's true. And so things are still continuing on as things go along now. But this was all of that was set up before this Okada thing came to light as
yes,
well.
Yes, exactly.
We're waiting for the fallout of that.
A certain level of rehabilitation with the New Japan Pro Wrestling certainly has to happen right now, I guess. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, my point about The Office, let's not only talk about The Office. I mentioned this, the past 10 years of this company. And this has been a talking point. If you have been a listener to this show, this has been a talking point on this show for years now, that there is a void between the, you could say, the big three, Tanahashi, Naito, and Okada, and the rest of the roster. There is just no one that has debuted within the last 10 years that has become a star to the level that he could on his own as the centerpiece. That was my take today on Twitter. As the centerpiece, headline a WrestleMania, or headline a Wrestle Kingdom main event. Jay White was brought up there, and I said, yes, Jay White was in main events, but he always was the antagonist. He always was the bad guy to be the foil for the eventual babyface to overcome him, and he was never the centerpiece of that. And even with Tetsuya Naito, Dylan, I would go as far as to say that Tetsuya Naito became the top star in spite of New Japan Pro Wrestling and their booking. Because look at the history of him being the top star and the top champion. There always was Okada. And Naito, in a lot of situations, was the second best guy. He was, for a lot of time, synonymous with the IC title, which he despised, apparently. And now he is on the top, and he is expected to carry the company, of course, which puts even more pressure on a guy that... that also has its severe issues with his body.
First of all, totally agree with what you said about him becoming the top guy in spite of their booking. You look no further than all of his prior world title reigns. They've never committed to making him the dude that they have with Okada in the past. That's just a fact. At the end of the day, like, there's no argument for that. The fans love him, maybe even more than Okada. Probably more than Okada in Japan, to be honest with you. But that's not because they built him up. You know, they never gave him what they gave Okada in terms of booking power and all of that. But now we're at this interesting moment, because like you said, we've talked about this for years. That's absolutely true, what you said. And now we've reached a day of reckoning that I don't know if anybody could have seen this coming before the past year. But I do remember when, take it this way, the year of All In, the original show, they had the show in California with the Bucks versus Golden Lovers. Wildly successful. Everybody talked about it. You know, it was the talk of the world. And New Japan, in a lot of ways, was the fire of wrestling. You know, like, yeah, the soul of it, almost. Because, you know, WWE was in a really, like, even worse than they are now. Like, whatever you want to say about
them
now.
They were filling the void for pro wrestling fans who were fed up with WWE in the United States.
Exactly. Like, they were the number two company, even in the U.S., despite being a Japanese-based company. And if you go back to that episode we did, talking about that match, I remember saying, they are going to rue the day they didn't have a plan for a fully U.S.-based product. Like, it should have been announced that night, like, with the reaction. They should have had New Japan USA, whatever they want to call it, Strong, if that's what they, like, whatever. Do something. And if you had been able to pull that off within a few months before AEW got started, this whole landscape that we're in right now, and the landscape of Japanese wrestling, is so different. They have only themselves to blame, because they could have done that, but they did not. They were not ready. And once again, in that situation, in the situation we talked about with AJ and Nakamura, and now with Okada, they're once again caught with their pants down. And they're going to have to cobble things together to try and make up for all of their mistakes that led to this.
Absolutely. And there is, of course, another person we got to include into this talking point, and that's got to be the booker himself, Ghetto.
Yes, absolutely. He
might be the guy responsible for what I just said about Okada and Naito. Because for whatever happened in this company, whenever there was someone else being IWGP heavyweight champion, you always knew that the guy is presumably just a transitional champion for another Okada reign, We always knew that, for example, with Shingo Takagi. We could presume that with others as well. And the same was true for Tanahashi for a lot of time. And Gedo has to be the one responsible for putting together a roster that has the stars, that has the depth of different guys being able to headline a Wrestle Kingdom main event. We've been talking about that for years as well when we talked about the G1 Climax. For years now, there were very slim options for us to pick for a G1 Climax winner, because you always had to keep that in the back of your mind that that guy has to headline Wrestle Kingdom. And there are just these few options. And that's on themselves. They ran themselves into a corner.
Striga, look no further than the last year of Okada. You spent 12 years trying to make this guy the wrestling god of Japan. And his last year was not building to the future. It was not putting over young talent. It was as the six-man champion was his role in New Japan. That is his last year of New Japan that he's going out.
You wasted the last year of Okada in New Japan, and there is no going back to that. There is never going to be an opportunity where you can go back to this point and have a different outcome to Okada's last year. And on top of that, someone made the point on Twitter today as well, and in my mentions, that Ospreay, on his way out, did way more for the Reiwa 3 than Okada did.
That's true. Whoever said that's completely right. On there, those matches with Tsuji and Umino helped them so much, and like were great matches in their own right, and helped them with the crowd, especially the Umino match. I think was everybody looks at, even though they had the moment afterwards. But yeah, totally agree. Okada really didn't do anything like to help anybody his last year or so. But it wasn't necessarily because of him, but more so of how he wasn't even in position to help anybody. You know, at the end of the day, even if that was something he wanted to,
Yes. They
chose not to even put him in position to, you know, and Ospreay, it's not like, oh, he, you know, it doesn't work for me, brother. Okada was saying to somebody like Ospreay won those matches, but still that moment for those two and those matches for those two helped so much. You're telling me Okada couldn't have had a match where he won over them, if that's such a big deal to him, and you still couldn't have gotten so much by building them up? I'm not buying it, man. Like, he could have done more, but I also think they didn't put him in position to do more. I think that's on Gedo more than Okada, in my opinion.
Yeah, that has to be on Gedo, and when is going to be the point that they make the decision, okay, we got to take the different route, we got to get someone new in as the booker? Because, I mean, he has been doing that for a long, long time. And maybe there would be a point in time where something new and fresh would be better. But that's, of course, a company decision. What definitely has to happen now, we have these guys in the company, like Yota Tsuji, Shota Umino, and Yuya Uemura. They are definitely doing something with them. They are pushing them into a direction, and they are changing up their ideas of excursions as well. We see Oscar Loibe and Yuto Nakashima taking their excursions, and that apparently is directed at a new look at young talent. Roy Oiwa is still with Noah. Kosei Fujita is getting a push within TMDK. So, Dylan, what do you expect for 2024 for the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling?
What you said with all those guys are nice changes to make. Like, that's good stuff for the young guys. You need top stars, and none of those guys are like on the path to that at the moment. So they have to really figure out a way to get some people over. Like, it's not like, oh, they can't anymore. They have no choice now. Okada's left. Ospreay's left. Tanahashi's too old to be in that position.
He can't. He can't for the life of him do another Wrestle Kingdom main event.
Although, I wouldn't put it past them with him as the president.
Of course he could, but
yeah,
he should.
I wouldn't write that out. He should or not, maybe a different question entirely. But will he? I could see that happening.
Let's go another round with Tanahashi and Naito then.
Let's remember, what was his first statement as a president? I still want to go for... I've never won the title before, IWGP title.
Right.
We need to sell at the Dome. These are things you don't say if you're pushing the young stars as your goal. at the end of the day. So I'm just pointing that out. Again, I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure. I'm just saying I don't think we completely write it off at the moment. But they need, regardless of that, to put people over and make them top stars. How are you going to do that? It would have been a lot easier if you had been more forward thinking, maybe used Okada to help you. Imagine if instead of, and I loved it that they had him there. The interest was crazy, blah, blah, blah. Imagine if the Wrestle Kingdom match had been Umino beating Okada in a singles match.
Yeah.
And that was his last Wrestle Kingdom. That would have been a legendary moment. And we said it. I've said this time and time again, ever since the G1 happened, where they had them all in the same block. You're not even giving these guys moments to hang on to. You didn't accomplish anything with the G1 other than have this Three Musketeers name, which wasn't even that successful, if successful at all, at the moment. You purposely didn't do anything. So when you're in that situation, you can't, like you said, we can't go back and change it now. We have to go by what we know now. And, you know, I remember our prediction show a couple of weeks ago. There were multiple people who predicted that either Tsuji or Umino would win the New Japan Cup and take the title off of Naito.
Uh-huh.
And I was skeptical of that when we came about. But now that we have things laid out how we have them laid out, I think they need something drastic.
Yeah, like I was just going to use the exact same word. They have to go on a drastic move and try to do something that has a big impact, much like Yuta Tsuji's return last year had.
You could have argued he should have won the title then. Like, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, Sonata's reign was not successful, ultimately. I think we all can see that, regardless of your feelings on him. Even though the ending was wonderful, the majestic moment of the LIJ and all that stuff, that's great. But as a title reign, that was not a successful title reign, no matter how you slice it. Tsuji, shot in the arm, sparked it to the promotion. Maybe it wouldn't have worked. Maybe it would have still been bad. But you would be in a much better position going forward if you had had, again, maybe not even the title, but you could have just given these guys moments to build off of.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that. And now you're left with guys who haven't accomplished anything. Like, every young guy they have hasn't accomplished anything in New Japan. So now we're waiting for that moment for somebody. And who's to say who their favorite is right now, who they see the most in? Because you can really go in a lot of different directions. The way Gato books, he might see the most in Narita, like putting him in House of Torture. Like, that may mean more to him than anything with the others. It's not us. We don't think that way, obviously. But to him, I don't think you could write it off that he doesn't really, he's not ready to push these guys or wasn't ready to push them. Even with the TV title, that got announced as the Young Guys title. And we've seen it with Zach and Tanahashi.
They didn't even get a never title run.
Exactly. They didn't give him even the bare minimum to this point. And that is a horrible failure on New Japan's part. And on top of it, even from a financial standpoint, it's true that AEW and WWE are probably going to, it's not probably, they're going to send him more money than he could make in New Japan. But let's remember that New Japan is a part of Bushiroad, a gigantic company with tons of money. If they so wanted and felt like they were that important, they could sign Okada. They could pay him more if they wanted to, but they don't because New Japan's not that big of a deal for them in the grand scheme of things of the Bushiroad Corporation of it all. So you are at the point now where you could have done so many different things, but you've made conscious decisions. It's not like this was all accidental. These things were conscious decisions, and maybe in Gato's mind, he thought Okada would stick around. Maybe Okada told him to his face, Gato, I'll never leave New Japan. You know me. Yeah. And then a month later, you know, then like things change. You know, maybe that happened and he was preparing for the future in his own way. But that's done now. Now we know the facts. We have the data. You have to react to that now. And how are you going to react to that? Because, hey, even Okada's run originally, that was something nobody saw coming. Like, it was a drastic move. And it turned
they
out
tried so to go back to that, stressing that the Zanada victory over Okada was similar to Okada,
not at all,
Tanahashi, and it was not at all, right?
Yeah, like that was totally, totally different. They had been there like 7 years before that had happened.
Yeah.
In his regular role, they gave him. It was nice of them to try something different. Again, I wasn't a fan of it, but I applaud them for at least doing something a little different. But considering what we know now, I definitely think it was a big mistake. Okada should have been the champion. or at the very least put over some different people. But they need to go back for real, not like a Sonata who's been a veteran for 7 years. We need a completely new guy again, regardless of age. You see people posting ages, Tsuji 30 years old or whatever. The age itself is not as important as their wrestling age, mm-hmm. like what they are. Like, how long have we seen them? Because the Tsuji we know now is not the same as the Young Lion Tsuji.
No.
The Tsuji we know has been here since June. That's less than a year. And that's how his wrestling age is. That matters more than the actual age. So they need to use somebody who's very young, wrestling age-wise, we haven't seen a lot of, push them for real, and let's see where it goes. Because I at this point, I truly believe, despite my grievances with Gato and the entire company, because you can point a lot of fingers. If you want to point fingers at New Japan for this situation, you're going to need both hands right at the moment. We need to get to the bottom of it, but more importantly, we need to react now and move forward. And we've yet to see that, and in my opinion, in my mind, there's no choice. They have to do it now.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Which, one more thing, too, on that. Wouldn't you argue, Striga, that that's exciting as a fan? We don't know where they're going to go.
It is really exciting right now. It really sparks discussion about who of the new talent they will push. And I would still say, we talked about him on our Year End Awards show, I think we did, about Yuya Uemura being in a situation where he is not officially part of the Reiwa 3, but he is in a situation where he could also be a pushed talent and pushed act, and it really depends on the guy's performances right now, who will in the end get to a position on the top of the card.
Yeah, I think those are the four that are going to be looked at. The Reiwa 3 and Waimura as well.
Do you think they'll make more of a star of Zack Sabre Jr. now?
That would be interesting because he's freed up from the TV title. They need a top foreigner. They put a lot into Finlay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to see how this cage match goes as well, because I could easily see a big turn happening in that match and somebody getting a big push.
The cage match could be one of those true moments that you talked about that have been lacking for the Reiwa 3.
Absolutely, and I don't know who it would be. Maybe this is Okan's push to stardom. Like, let's say he turns on Ospreay in the cage match and breaks up United Empire with that. And that leads to a big push for Okan, a guy who's really been in the shadows, hasn't been blowing the world away performance-wise, but is one of their guys at the end of the day. Maybe it could be time for to get serious with him. Enough with this great Okan stuff. Time for Oka to return, and we're going to do some different things. I mean, maybe. Again, that's just speculation. That's just an idea. Maybe Cobb, like, is going to be in that match, right? Or Hinari.
Right.
Maybe he's somebody that they could look at. Hey, we need a new top forwarder. Finlay, he's doing his thing, but we need a top guy. Maybe that's somebody they see. And they have a chance through this cage match to do something. Maybe one of the Bullet Club guys turns, for all we know, and they see something in him. Maybe Finlay himself is going to get a big run. They have options now.
But they have to play their cards well. I mean, they have a lot of cards on the table, lots of opportunities, and there are some of them that could go into a direction that is not successful at all. It's a very critical point for New Japan Pro Wrestling. Let's say they decide, okay, yes, it's Shota Umino's year and his title run bombs. That would be a big blow to the company and to him as a performer and the main event level talent.
Oh, so true. It's one of those things that even the original Okada run, imagine if that had flopped completely. And again, just like I said about them starting the U.S. thing when they did, what they should have, that would have changed the landscape of so many things in the last 10 years. If Okada's run had not been successful, that would have changed the landscape of everything going forward. So that's one of those things. Whenever one of those guys gets the title, that gets the chance to lead the company, that is going to be so important, and there's going to be so much pressure on these guys, like whoever gets it, because that's a whole other level. Finding a top forwarder is one thing, but you need the next ace. Like, who is the true ace of this company, like, going forward? And we're at a point where nobody can say for sure. We might have the ones we think might be the best, But nobody can say that for sure. And it's interesting as a fan, again, they haven't put themselves in a good position from the past. But like you said, if they play their cards right now, it's not completely hopeless. Like, they actually have options to turn to. Despite their incompetence in the past, pretty much. But we're going to have to see, is this where it's crunch time now for Gato? What is his plan? What are we going to see? And who does he have in mind to be the top guys?
Yes, that is, man.
Let me ask you this question, too. If you're New Japan right now, let's say they're still a little, you know, they want to do things their way.
Yeah.
They don't want to push the young guys so fast. They'll give them a moment this year. They have to. but maybe if you're Gato, again, and you're the people surrounding him, let's say we need to do this right so we don't have a bomb champion. We want to build them up appropriately, all the lies that get told to hold people down in wrestling. And you're looking at a guy in All Japan right now having the best run of his career, doing an Inoki-inspired gimmick that you could easily transfer over to a New Japan. I think that guy's value shot up a lot with Okada leaving.
Yes, that guy's value shot up a lot. Still, though, I will go back to the point that you always made about him in Pro Wrestling Noah. There's no proof of him being an actual draw above the level that All Japan Pro Wrestling is right now. He was responsible for two houses that were considered good for Noah and for All Japan Pro Wrestling. But there is no proof that he would be a top draw on the level of New Japan Pro Wrestling. I was thinking the same today. And I would say you could also just put Yuta Tsuji in a situation. And for New Japan fans, that would be as good, if not better, than if they had Nakajima in.
Oh, I think Tsuji, of all of them, I actually think Tsuji has the most upside, in my opinion, of the young guys.
He has something about him. He has the aura.
Yeah.
He has the smile. He carries himself like the dude already. I mean, he is the dude.
Yeah. Like, all of that's so true. But we are not Gato. The fans are not Gato. We might not think like he does.
Sometimes it's so glaringly obvious. And if anyone looks at Tsuji, I mean, they can't not see that.
All I'm saying is, who won his match at Tokyo Dome? Not him. You know, that shows you right there that he's not quite ready to push these guys now.
Maybe he'll be the next guy who succeeds in spite of New Japan.
Well, that's maybe possible, but what I'm saying is maybe these guys, like a Tanahashi, maybe a Nakajima, they might be, instead of saying what we're saying, like they need a drastic push, Gato or somebody or whoever might be thinking, we need a bridge. Like, we need to just get through this year and get to it the best we can, and then next year we can push these guys more. We need to wait more.
Yeah, that would be another argument for another Naito and Tanahashi match down the line, and it could be a situation where they go, okay, you know, Tanahashi, we talked about this, we discussed this, and we were actually going to put you into the situation of being the television champion and having these 15-minute matches, but we need one more big G1 run out of you.
I'm sure he would love to do it, like himself. I'm sure he would be like, yeah, great, title match, dome main event.
His buddy says no.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, he's really gone down. Or even, like, again, to bring up Nakajima, if he's a guy that they're looking at, who would you think would be a better draw if you were in charge of New Japan, if you were going to do a dome show? Nakajima or Sonata?
Nakajima.
Absolutely. And there you go. Sonata was your top star for the last year, so that automatically puts Nakajima at the top tier level of New Japan.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's all. And wait, with the gimmick, maybe there was more plans behind this than we knew about at the time. And who knows what backdoor crap he's got going on with Simon or whatever. But if you're Nakajima, with Nakajima, though, this couldn't have worked out more perfectly for him. Like, Okada leaving, you stayed in All Japan a little bit extra as the Triple Crown champion. If that does happen, It definitely, like, you have to give Nakajima credit for being a savvy businessman if that were to work out at the end of the day. And I do think there's legs to a Nakajima and Naito match if they, maybe Tanahashi really is there like, look, Tana, I know you want to do this, but we can't. Like, you can't anymore. We have to protect you. And if they do that, I don't think there's a better option than Nakajima for a one-off match. If they could push these guys, again, like, we're coming off a loss for Tsuji and no big wins. These guys haven't accomplished anything yet. And we're talking about putting them in the title situation. So if you do, I don't think it's that outrageous to say, well, maybe we need to give them some things before we move them to that top level. But if it were me, and I'm not Gato again, I would want to do something drastic. And to me, you have a great potential story with Tsuji and Naito that you could build to if you wanted to get to that point. But I could see it. I honestly could see Nakajima being at a greater value than we thought in the past with how things have played out. Thought that was worth bringing up.
Want to read this tweet Kevin Kelly just made. He's talking about New Japan. They have to stop making young guys so geeky. Terribly forced nicknames like Roughneck, Gene Blast, and Heat Source. I think he means Heat Storm. Pull the trigger on Despy. Please stop smiling, Tsuji. No, I don't agree with that. Get serious, Okan. Smash over Oleg. Make business hot. I agree with most of the tweet, but no, don't stop smiling, Tsuji.
Yeah, absolutely. Smiling was the one thing he was wrong about. For hey, sure, we need that.
Despy, man. What about him?
What about Hiromu? Like, another guy two guys you've had in the junior division. Like, and they, many would argue that they should have moved up to heavyweight years before. Yes. I think that's another guy. Again, if you're trying to bridge and you want, and you're playing love to the veterans, as has happened so many times before in Japanese wrestling, and just Japanese anything in general, like, you know, experience will always come first in a lot of ways, and seniority and all that is so important. If you're thinking about that, these guys have been around for a while. Hiromu, Desperado. Are you really going to stick Desperado with another junior title reign? You want him stuck there forever? I could see that being an option to go for. Again, that's something, much like Nakajima, there's no proof that they can really draw at that level. Hiromu has shown more than Despy, for sure. Like, when he's been in the main eventers, they've at least shown that they'll ride with him to a certain extent. If they wanted to go that. Desperado, when they've tried to put him in the past, it didn't really work, unfortunately. The match with Okada was a pretty bad down house that they had. But you could go there. Like, there's no reason not to. Like, they're great workers. They could get the most out of people. Even if they don't... Someone like a Despy. Hiromu, I could see as the world champion, honestly. Like, there's a future I could see where that could happen to be a thing. I don't necessarily see the same for Desperado, but... he could be a great value player.
Yes.
Instead of having Goto and Ishii and these guys in the never title reign.
I was just going to make the exact point about the exact same guys, yes.
Yeah, and have Desperado a fresh face in these runs, like the TV title. You know, have him take their spot, get all new matches with the heavyweights, maybe put over the young guys as well, that he could be kind of a gatekeeper for, like, you know, maybe a Rin Narita or a Uemura or something like that, if they wanted to get to that. You know, you could see a lot of things with that. So I think there's a lot of value in Desperado and Hiromu as well in terms of moving them up to heavyweights. But we're asking them something we've asked for so many years as well. And again, that's the thing. They have a lot of different options that we previously wanted, but it didn't happen. Or maybe we even thought it was impossible in some cases. Now I think you have the doors open if you want to, but they just have to want to with these things at the end of the day.
Yeah, they need to... change the way they thought for the last 10 years. And they have to change very quickly.
And they should have before, or we wouldn't be in this situation now, but we are. But
they were so stuck in the Okada comfort zone that there was no reason for them to change.
There were reasons, especially in the pandemic when Ospreay left and all of that. They should have noticed a lot of red flags around that time.
Sometimes you don't notice these when you're, just like I said, when you're in this comfort.
Yeah, yeah. You have that crutch to always go back to and lean on. That, like, it's bad now, but when we can always round back to Okada and things will be better again. Yes. Or even Naito's been using a similar way. Again, he's never really been like this had this legendary title reign. He's like, oh, things are down. We'll put Naito on top and see what happens. Which, I mean, kind of look at this dome last year. Like, things weren't going great with Sonata. They tried with Naito. It wasn't as successful as it was in the past. We'll see how things go going forward. But yes. Even then, that's another red flag for me. Look at their immediate follow-up to the dome. A rematch with Sonata. Like, that was your big match. Like, you could have done Tai Chi, like you said, in the past. You could have easily done something different if you wanted. But they chose... Again, these are choices that they make. And it's not like it's all on them.
They gotta be angry with themselves now, the way Goto was handled years ago. Because nobody will ever buy a Goto as champion now.
Nah, that ship has sailed, unfortunately. And I love Goto. He was always my favorite. God, there were plenty of times he could have been a great world champion, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But it just never happened. And again, that's somebody... There's no reason he can't be on a similar level to a Tanahashi. Maybe not as the ace, you know, like he never probably could have been that guy, just with the look and the charisma and all that stuff. But he could have... He had enough to where he could have definitely carried the company for a while, and he could be at a spot now.
Even Nakanishi got his title run.
Yeah, it was
gold
only for
watch
a month,
title run.
It was only for a month, but still, Goto didn't even get that. Like, they left him out in the cold, and he could have been. Nakanishi would never have been the top star, like, or successful. Like, with all due respect to him, Goto, I think, could have been a great champion and a very successful one at certain periods of his time. I always go back to 2007 Tanahashi Goto match. The crowd was eating him up; they were begging for him to win. When he won the tournament, everybody loved him. They threw him right to Muto afterwards, botched all that. 2011, he came back from excursion, new heel ride.
That was
had
the
an amazing match. Yeah, that was the moment. Like, that was the best moment. When he came back, 2011, one of their best matches they ever had. Dominion,
I remember how disappointed I was reading the result. I was so sure that they would finally pull the trigger, and they did not. And he was slotted at that point.
And even to the point when I first came on this show and we were starting Eastern Lariat, the universal reaction to Goto was, Goto, he's not a champion, he's a loser, he's lost all these. But that's not how it always was. I always try to explain this. Like, nobody believes me, but I'm telling you the truth right now. I go back to those days, I promise. And he was an amazing worker, too, like an exceptional guy. And he still is. He's still a great worker even now, even in a tag team scenario. But his legacy is not going to be what Tanahashi's or Naito's or Okada's is, what it could have been if they had got him around. And again, great point on your part. That's another guy. They pretty much wasted his potential away, and now he's a mid-card dude, and there's no you can't fix it. Now it's too late to make him the champion and the top guy now. Unless they just have some radical secret game plan for Goto we don't know about. But I'm really doubting that. Like, I have to say, I really doubt that one.
We're definitely in for an exciting year, 2024. I guess from the viewpoint of New Japan Pro Wrestling, for all the wrong reasons. But for us fans, it's got to be an exciting year. And hopefully an exciting year of many unprecedented decisions that... help New Japan to overcome this. It's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. I know a lot of people are doom posting about this, and I think it's something worth saying, actually, before we get out of here. What do you think of the idea now that the way things have worked out, and we'll have our piece on it, and I'll say my piece on it in a second, but I'll ask you first. New Japan now is at the point where they've affected things so much, the entirety of Japanese wrestling at the moment. They even the top company has now basically become a feeder system for America. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
It's... I wouldn't go that far with Okada. With Osprey, I think there is a point to be made, but Okada is just the top dude in New Japan, and I think they would have gone for him. I mean, I think going for Okada is a no-brainer. I wouldn't consider that
agreed.
Being a part of a feeding system. I would agree had they gone after guys like Yuta Tsuji, Shota Umino, Kaito Kiyomiya, Yuma Aoyagi. That would be guys that I would have considered for American companies to go after if this would be a feeding system. But Okada, he could be a difference maker for your company, and he is. I mean, look at a worldwide scale. There's possibly just very few wrestlers that would be considered bigger stars than Okada.
Absolutely true. And to the foreigners, they probably wanted to be there. You know, like they wanted to go to America more than Japan if they had the chance, or Britain or whatever they're going to do. Like, it probably was a more comfortable living environment for them at the end of the day, and they probably always had their sights set on it in the first place. With Okada, like you said, one of the global worldwide stars, and somebody who is very special, the odds of AEW or WWE, really, I just don't see a future where we're going to see, you know, 35 Japanese talents signed to WWE all of a sudden. Like, they take everybody, or AEW gets all these guys. You're at the point now where you could have a few guys.
Yeah.
And really, Okada is the main difference maker. Takeshita, we all have high hopes for and love a lot, but like you said earlier, he was the DDT champion. That doesn't mean much to Tony Khan for all intents and purposes at the end of the day. Okada, like you said, is a global star, the likes of which, like, him being Japanese is lesser than him being Okada, like, yeah. at the end of the day, like, to the people. So I agree with you. I everything you said, I couldn't really add anything better on. It's just something I've seen talked about a lot on Twitter. So
I mean, it's a viable point because people have been leaving Japan, and if you look at just plain that, it's them leaving for different companies.
And it's also a bad credit to the other companies in Japan. You know, again, 25 years ago, you had the chance to start your own company, or, you know, you've seen people jump back and forth. Tenryu jumped between a bunch of companies at times. You're not really going to see a situation where a top New Japan, like Okada, like you said at the start, in all realistic scenarios, is not going to jump to another Japanese company. Like, we know it's an American company he's going to.
It would be fun, but completely unrealistic.
Yeah, exactly. But it used to be where that was possible, at least. Maybe it wasn't always going to happen. It used to be at least possible. Now it's like there's 0% chance of that happening. You know, it, like you said, it would have been funny if that happened. But, you know, we'll see going forward. What do you think of the idea now, as a fan even? If you just look at it again, just as a pure fan of wrestling, you have no company allegiance or anything like that. I think Okada, with all new fresh opponents, is more interesting in another company than he would be in New Japan, in my opinion. Like, we saw what he could do against all of these guys. The young guys were the one thing, and he showed a lot of great talent last year, you know, being the bully type of guy. You know, he showed a lot of great character traits that he hadn't really shown before, and I loved his work. I thought he was doing some of the best of his career.
That's the one thing they left on the table. Everything else has been told numerous times, but that should have been the story for this year.
Exactly. Ideally, that would have happened like the past year. And if he had done all of that and put over who they wanted to put over, and then he left, I actually would be totally okay with it. Because they did such a poor job of that, that's the one thing that feels like it's left on the table. And again, if he signs with AEW, maybe that's something they know they can get eventually. You know, maybe they'll build to a big match in the future. Like, that'll still be possible. We don't know that. But I do think for him as a wrestler, me just as a fan, I think he's got more interesting matches in any other company than New Japan at the moment overall. And it's exciting as a fan, but also I can see why it's also... Like, it's never good to lose your top star, but also...
it can be frightening for those that really love Japanese pro wrestling and that really love New Japan pro wrestling.
Oh, absolutely.
I saw some tweets about that as well, and I can totally get behind that. It was a big shocker to me as well.
And it's unprecedented. So, like you said at the start, this is something that's never happened before, where the top star is now crossing over full-time. You know, so... It's in new things, there's fear. Like, that's natural. Like, nobody likes change. Like, I don't think. Like, I want things to be how they always are about everything. But also in chaos comes opportunity as well. So I do think that there are opportunities. Like you said, we just laid it out on this show. We spent an hour talking about it. There's plenty of options that they have if they play their cards right. Will they do that? That is another question. Because as I said, I think my biggest red flag with all of this is pretty much everything we said that's been a problem with this were choices made by them. You know, Okada, they might not have seen Okada leaving. They might not have seen coming.
Yeah, but things just don't happen to you in pro wrestling. There are choices made.
Exactly, and that's my big red flag overall. And it's a shame. You know, it's a shame that he couldn't have put over some of the guys. Even Kaito, you know, I always joke about it, saying it's crazy that he would put over Kaito. But if you're Noah and you're Kaito, you have to be a little disappointed. You probably were banking on this as like the payoff to all of this, as foolish as that may have been in reality. You know, like it's a shame when you think about it. Like, he could have put over these guys. That one I don't think he would have, just because he's a Noah guy. But still, you have to think that they probably. You can't think their plan was for this to happen this way. Like, with all of this, they had to believe, naively as it may have been, they had to have believed somewhere that something was going to come back around for them.
We open up Twitter tomorrow and we see a notice for Pro Wrestling Noah. Kaito Kiyomiya, effectively of January 31st, 2024, leaves Pro Wrestling Noah.
I wonder if he cares that much. Like I said, I don't know if he cares as much as the fans. Actually, he's happy to get a paycheck.
I guess
at the end of the day, but we'll see. That's, I mean, like I said, this could cause shock waves for the whole scene in wrestling, like in Japan. But I don't know. It depends on how New Japan goes. Do you think this will affect any of those relationships? Not just with Noah, but maybe all Japan. This 9 company deal, like the New Japan Alliance or whatever they have, Japan Alliance. Do you think this will have any effect on that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, me either. They just lose a main guy and the show they're going to do at Budokan. Yeah.
I mean, sure, yeah, they lose the guy, but I don't. I mean. All
together didn't do great with him. So
yeah, and all these announcements of all these working relationships of this, there's this Asia Pacific deal as well. Realistically, Dylan, they come and go over time with New Japan.
I'm sad to say, because I thought that was so cool. We never even talked about it on the show.
It is so cool.
To see China and Singapore and Thailand.
We had the setup guys sitting ringside at Wrestle Kingdom 2.
It was cool.
It's cool that they get the opportunity to, but it's just, we know what happens with New Japan and their agreements overseas. I mean, remember back in the day, I still have that shirt. They gave out, there was a shirt that you could buy with the New Japan logo in the German flag colors, and the back of the shirt said Wonderland of Wrestle, Germany, and they had this map where they had their international companies they were working with, and WXW was one of them. It never came to fruition.
No, and you're right. Like, if you've been around long enough, you know that it's hard to get too excited until you see something tangible from them. And I hope for the best for that, because I thought it was awesome. I would love to see China get more into wrestling and Singapore, these talents that they have.
One thing I want to stress about that, New Japan was able to bring together companies from China and Taiwan.
that is true. Wrestling brings the world together. It's a microcosm of life, right? on that end. But all of them. And Singapore has got great talents as well. Like, I've watched their shows. You know, you see guys like that come in, and maybe you could get something out of them. Again, like you said, I don't have high hopes, but I just thought it was really cool overall. And this Okada thing, like you said, even the United Alliance, back then when we talked about it very briefly, it was like, we expected this one show to come. And if anything after that is basically gravy, you know, at that point, like, if
they do a second one, that's, yeah.
Even Cyberflight Fez, like, owned by the same company, only lasted a couple of shows. Like working agreements in Japanese wrestling and wrestling in general always hits the fan eventually. Like, there's no such thing as a lifelong agreement between companies in wrestling. So
that's right.
It's one of those things. And Okada leaving wouldn't affect any of that anyway. But yeah.
It is what it is right now. Speculation is going wild online, of course. It's going to be interesting where he eventually lands and how the company that lands him will go about this. So We'll be looking forward to that, Dylan. And I want to say this was really cool to talk about all of this, going back to the what ifs of the past and going to the presumptions or the expectations for the future. It is a crucial point in Japanese pro wrestling, much like I said, and everybody along for the ride will be finding out what Okada does next. So this has been the Eastern Lariat special episode about Katsushika Okada. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.